We are continuing today the Power to Answer Our Prayers, which is part one, lesson six, that we have divided into three parts in our lesson on the power of God's Word. And we are ready for the second part of this part one lesson, which we'll get to in just a moment, but we wanted to mention that we are under difficult circumstances, as many people are across the United States, because of the virus that seems to have taken hold, especially here in New York City, in Brooklyn, which is the carries the largest population in New York City, about 2.5 million people for 71 square miles of land, which is quite congested and crowded. But we are thankful, and those members are with us, some of the members of the Central Brooklyn Church of Christ that we usually gather together in the public school at Didymus Junior High School on Cortelia Road, 700 Cortelia Road here in the Didymus Park, Kensington section of Brooklyn, New York, when we're able to gather together, but that is not possible for today nor for the foreseeable future. So we hope that these lessons still may be valuable to the ones with us, of our members on the conference call, and to others who will listen to it later, Lord willing, on the YouTube channel, the Bible Search YouTube channel, and BibleSearch.com, my website, as well, that where we will post these lessons, the Lord willing. Today we continue, and we definitely need to learn about prayer at any time, but especially now during the midst of all of these troubles and trials that we are facing, to continue to pray fervently for this pandemic to end, when, as my friend pointed out from another state, when God is most glorified, that it may end, and that most of all that we may turn to God and be obedient to His Word, whoever we may be. We looked at the last 2 weeks ago the lesson regarding God is willing and able to answer the prayers of His children, and that is a beautiful thing to consider. God wants us to pray. God is willing to hear us. God is willing to answer us. And that is wonderful, and we may not be able to get in touch with certain people during these stressful times regarding the virus, but God is always available and ready to hear if we pray to Him in the right way and with the right attitudes. Then God, our Heavenly Father, is willing to hear and also answer. Prayer is an expression of the desires of our hearts to God. It is when we pour out our hearts to God about praising Him and about giving Him thanksgiving, thanking Him for all things. And we pour out our desires before Him, and He says He will hear and He will answer. But prayer is also about confession. Confession means to speak the same thing. The Father will hear the humble, broken-hearted, and penitent who confess their sins and plead for His mercy. We live in such a wicked society today that there is almost no concept regarding sin anymore, and no consciousness of sin among so many people, because many have been convinced, even by many leaders of this country, by many educators of this country, that sin does not even exist. As long as you don't hurt anybody, you can do whatever you want. Their definition of hurting anybody, and that doesn't include murdering the unborn child in the womb. That's not hurting anybody. That's just dispensing of a mass of tissue called a fetus. That's how sick, that's how godless our society has become. To where people have become so hardened against sin and so unconcerned with their attitude. But if we're going to pray before God, we must be humble enough to confess our sins to God. Those of us who have become Christians, by repenting of our sins, trusting in Jesus, believing Him to be the Son of God, confessing Him as the Son of God, and being immersed, baptized in water for the forgiveness of our sins, becoming a child of God by faith, by grace through faith, we must then continue to confess our sins before a merciful and just God, such as Simon the sorcerer. It was pointed to him when he wanted to buy the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit to cause the miraculous gifts to be distributed to others. Then he was told in Acts 8 and verse 22, "Therefore repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you." And then we read, so we see repentance and prayer is necessary as we confess our sins to God, turning away from those things, pleading for God's mercy, even after we have once been baptized for the forgiveness of all of our past sins. James 5 and verse 16, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much because it will bring the blessings of God that are attached to those prayers. If we pray with the right attitudes and content to God, and that includes confessing our sins. 1 John 1 and verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. There is no sin in God. He's perfect. He's sinless. If we say that we have fellowship, partnership with Him, and yet walk or live in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." In other words, we're deceiving ourselves when we say that we're in partnership with God, but we're living in sin without confessing and repenting of our sins and praying to God for forgiveness of our sins. We're deceiving ourselves. But if we walk, live in the light, in the truth of God's Word, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That is Jesus, the same blood that cleansed us in baptism when we first became Christians, will continue to cleanse us as we repent, confess, and pray for forgiveness for our sins. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So confession, a most important part in praying. But in order to do that, we must be humble in the sight of God and willing to turn away from those things, those sins that separate us from Him and from one another. Then prayer involves requests. Request, asking. Often we understand prayer more in terms of asking than any other way. To ask, to make request or supplication is to specifically state to the Father what we desire. That is, we bring to Him our request of various kinds, and He expects us to ask Him, looking forward and expecting Him to answer. That is the beautiful part. And He is better than any earthly parent who has the best interest of their child in their mind. God is greater and better and more loving and more wise and more powerful than any human parent that desires to give good things to their children. Jesus in Matthew 7 and verse 11, the Sermon on the Mount, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. That is beautiful, is it not? Ask the Lord and he will give to you. He is greater than anybody on the earth who claims to be good and loving, distributing gifts to their children or to others. Philippians 4 and verse 6, we live in these stressful times of the corroded virus, and we find that it's more stress piled upon stress. But Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 6, even as he was under house arrest awaiting to stand before the maniacal Roman Emperor Nero to see whether he would be executed or released, not because he had done anything sinful, but because of the sinful Jewish kinsmen who had brought him up before false charges, because they hated him so, because he had become a Christian, an apostle to the Gentiles, and he was converting both Jews and Gentiles by the power of the gospel of God. Philippians 4 and verse 6, under those stressful conditions, chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day probably, Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is beautiful, to bring your requests before God, and he will bring you peace that passes all understanding. He will hear and answer according to his will. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him, through Christ, who strengthens me. And then verse 19 of Philippians 4, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That is the promise that we look to. It's not to government. It's not to the medical profession. It's not to education. It's not to the world in any way. It's to the God who grants us our request that we may be at peace with him, and that provides us all strength through Christ and whatever is needed at any given time, both physical and spiritual. It was the church in Jerusalem who prayed earnestly for the release of Peter in prison after James was beheaded there in Jerusalem. One of the apostles, I believe the brother of John, James, was beheaded by Herod, and he was going to behead Peter. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, so Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. Verse 7, and behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, get up quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. And so Peter miraculously released from prison, and then he goes to the house of Mary where the church is meeting, praying for him in Jerusalem. And a servant girl, Rhoda, answers the door in chapter 12 and verse 13. When he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her joy, she did not open the gate but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in the front of the gate. They said to her, you are out of your mind. But she kept insisting that it was so. They kept saying, it is his angel. And so even when we pray fervently to God, many times we're astonished that God will answer. We're amazed. In fact, sometimes we're incredulous. We're unbelieving that God could answer in such a way as he did with Peter. But he did, and he does. When God ends this virus, whenever it is, and it will not be man that ends it, God will end it. God will bring it to an end. And when that happens, we will be amazed concerning the power of God. And we should always be amazed concerning the power and mercy of God. Prayer is involved regarding intercessions. Intercessions are when we ask God's favor on behalf of others, whether they are Christians or not. It's clear we are to pray for others. So we pray on behalf not only of ourselves, but we pray interceding for others. And especially we need to pray for the leaders of our country and of the world, that they do more good than harm, and that we as Christians may continue living as Christians and get back to a situation where we can regularly assemble together as His church, as local churches of Christ, wherever we may be. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1. First of all, then, Paul said, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we pray to live the Christian life and for the spread of the gospel and all that needs to take place, from the head leaders of government all the way down in the chain, whoever they are, that this may come about. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 9, another example of interceding, this time on behalf of brethren, on behalf of fellow Christians. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 9, Paul said, for what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy for which we rejoice before our God on your account, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. So Paul is concerned. He's away from the Thessalonians whom he had taught, and he is concerned for their faith. Now may our God and Father Himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, that is, that you may grow in love and faith, so that He may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. That is a beautiful prayer. That you may be filled up with faith and love, and the Lord may establish you in holiness without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that what we desire most of all, that we be found without blame by the blood of Christ at the coming of the Lord Jesus? If that is not our condition, we will be most pitiable in the sight of humanity. That is what we desire. Paul prayed for them even though he was not with them. Even though we cannot assemble together, we can pray and should pray. Whether we can assemble together or not, we should always pray earnestly for one another along these lines. No one, no government can stop us from praying for one another. And we ought to continue to pray for our growth, our understanding, our wisdom, our fruitfulness, our faithfulness, our readiness at the coming of the Lord Jesus. Colossians 4 and verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. He was a laborer in prayer, even though he was not physically with the ones that he loved and had been with and had helped obey the gospel of Christ to become Christians and help them grow in the early stages of their faith. He still prayed for them, although separated from them. And that's intercession. That's praying for others, especially for brethren, that we may be found in Christ. Prayer is expressing the desires of our hearts to God. It involves praise, thanksgiving, confessions, requests, and intercessions. And that is just a summary of what prayer involves. And then that concludes the first half of our lesson, but we just have another few minutes to focus on one more aspect of prayer. That is, Jesus is our perfect example. He was dependent on God to answer his prayers. And if the Son of God, the Creator of all, the one perfect in word, thought, and deed, without sin, if he prayed to God the Father and was dependent on him while he was on the earth to answer his prayers, how much more should it be for us in regard to our prayers? John 8 and verse 28, Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man," that is, when you crucify him, "then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. Jesus said, "The Father has not abandoned me because I always, not sometimes, not most times," he says, "I always do the things that are pleasing to my Father." That is a beautiful, beautiful statement of the character and conduct of the Lord Jesus. And that's why when Jesus went to God in prayer, he could always be assured that God would hear, that the Father would hear, and the Father would answer. In John 11 and verse 21, Lazarus had been dead. The dear friend of Jesus, the brother of Mary and Martha, had been dead for 4 days. Jesus comes to raise him from the dead. John chapter 11 and verse 21, Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Did you hear, Martha? "I know that God listens to you. I know that God will answer your prayers." Verse 41 of John 11. So they removed the stone, that is, by the tomb, covering the mouth of the tomb of Lazarus. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." He said, "I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me. That is, I know that you hear me, but for their sake, I spoke it before them, not doubting that you hear me, but so that they would know that you hear me." When he had said these things, verse 43, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." What a scene, what a sight that must have been. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot, dead for 4 days, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. Jesus prayed and God heard him. Jesus in perfect relationship with God and the power of God answering prayers of Jesus displayed in raising Lazarus from the dead. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 34, Mark 1:34, "And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. That was his custom. That was his habit, praying early in the morning, secluded from anyone. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God, that is, alone on the mountain. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles. One question that we may ask, do we feel comfortable enough with God to be alone with him in prayer for any amount of time? Or do we feel sort of funny, sort of disturbed, sort of ill at ease? Well, if we had a relationship that was aspiring to that of Jesus, then we would be glad to be alone. We would be eager to be alone in the closet of prayer, seeking the favor of God for ourselves and for others. John 12 and verse 27, Jesus said, "Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour." And we find the struggle of Jesus, not a struggle whether he was going to do the will of God by dying on the cross or not, and all the suffering that preceded it, the abuse, the scourging, the insults, and many other things that happened the hours before the crucifixion. But a few hours before the crucifixion at that night, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke 22 and verse 41, "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Many have argued that Jesus didn't really want to go to the cross. He didn't want to suffer, but that's nonsense. Jesus was willing to suffer and die, willing to do so. Just as much as the Father was willing to send him, Jesus was willing to go to the cross. So what is Gethsemane about? It's about Jesus praying for strength during time of sorrow and suffering. Luke 22 and verse 43, "Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him," that is, to go through the suffering that he must endure, including dying on a cross, the sinless Lamb of God for the sins of humanity. "And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground." That is praying. That is earnest praying before God. When he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow, and said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation." Was Jesus trying to get out of going to the cross? No. Jesus was reaffirming that he was willing to suffer and go to the cross, and God strengthened him that he might go through it. We know that because right after they came out of Gethsemane, John 18 and verse 10. In John 18 and verse 10, Simon Peter, then having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. And the slave's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" Did you hear what Jesus said in Gethsemane? Was he praying that the cup be removed from him? No. He said he was willing to drink the cup right after coming out of Gethsemane. "I'm willing to drink it. I'm willing to suffer for the sins of humanity." And how wonderful that we have a Savior like Jesus, the Father and the Holy Spirit working together, that salvation might come at such a in such a sacrificial, loving manner, that we might be cleared from our sins, forgiven of our sins, saved by His blood. Hebrews 5 and verse 7, in the days of His flesh, that is Jesus, He offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save Him from death, and He was heard because of His piety. That is, God allowed Him to die on the cross for the sins of humanity, but God raised Him from the dead on the third day, the first day of the week, that He might be ascended into heaven, where He is now reigning over heaven and earth. Verse 8, chapter 5 of Hebrews, verse 8, although He was a son, He learned obedience from the things which He suffered. And having been made perfect, He became to all those who obey Him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. That is beautiful regarding Jesus. That is, He is our perfect example, learning obedience through the things which He suffered, that we might be obedient as well, even depending on prayer as Jesus depended on it. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, as we begin to close the lesson. 1 Peter 2 and 21, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps. Yes, He is our example by which we should follow and be dependent on prayer. What have we learned in the second part of this lesson on part one, power to answer our prayers? We have learned that God is willing and able to answer our prayers, the prayers of His children from the previous lesson. We've learned about what is prayer. It is praise, thanksgiving, confessions, requests, and intercessions. It is expressing our heart's desire to God. And we learn that Jesus is our perfect example, dependent on God to answer His prayers. That should encourage us greatly to pray. We need to pray more than ever. Not only for ourselves, but for our brethren, for those of like precious faith, and for those who have never named the name of Jesus, that they might obey the gospel before it's everlastingly too late. For those that may be listening at any time, we extend the gospel invitation. If you would believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for your sins and has rose from the dead and is at the right hand of God, ruling over heaven and earth, that He is equal in nature with the Father and the Holy Spirit, all three having the divine nature. And you would repent of your sins, turn away from these things, and turn to God, confessing that He's the Son of God, and then going forward to be baptized, immersed in water, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, trusting in the power of God to cleanse you from your sins, being buried with Christ and raised up out of the watery grave of baptism, forgiven of all your past sins, you can become a Christian. Even now, during these most difficult times, that you can be forgiven by a gracious and loving God, our greatest need on the face of the earth, forgiveness of our sins. We would encourage you to obey the gospel at your immediate opportunity, wherever you may be listening. And those who are Christians already baptized for the forgiveness of sins, let us continue to repent and pray. Turn back to God and have our minds filled with the Word of God, that we may grow in His grace and in His knowledge by the power of His Word and be changed into the image of His Son. Praying for one another, confessing our sins to God and to one another. We encourage all to come wherever we may be. Won't you come at your earliest opportunity? The lesson is ours, and we pray for all for the spread of His gospel.